Monday, December 26, 2005, Passaic Torah Institute, Yarke Kala, Union of Hanukkah, Harav Hagan, Harav Reuven Feinstein, Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshiva of Staten Island, Masechta Shabbos, Chaf Aleph Ahmed Beis, Gemara Mai Hanukkah Tana Rabbanan, 13 lines from the bottom, and the Rif, Rosh, Kedusha Haran, Chasam Sofer, and Pnei Yeshua on this Gemara.
Towards the bottom of Chapala on the base is the Kashi Maichan and the Tanarabanan. Before then, it was mentioned in a whole bunch of Baraisis that keeps talking about Hanukkah, what they had to do on Hanukkah, and all the mitzvahs of Hanukkah. And finally, the one asked a simple question, my Hanukkah, what's this Hanukkah we're talking about? It's a little bit hard to understand such a Kashi because ask anybody in the street now, what's Hanukkah? They didn't learn. Oh, there were Maccabees, they had a war against the Greeks. I mean, anybody knows what happened. Right? So what do you mean, my Hanukkah? I would think that the main reason that the Gemara is in the Kaish, of course they knew what Hanukkah was. The festivals was passed down from year to year from the time that it happened, and it was definitely a glorious Inyan, especially after the defeat of the Churban Beis Hamikdash, to remember the victories of the Hashmonaim. I mean, there's no question that they discussed it constantly. They was always talking about the Yeshua Hashem. The question is, why 8 days? You know, in every mitzvah that we have, that we say they always commemorate, really it's one day that does the commemoration. Shemat and Tevis, so you have one day, Shavuos. Even Sukkot is technically, I mean, the question is why you need the whole week. It's not talked about. It's not in this week. In the rest of Eretz Yisrael, Luv and Esek was only one day. It's not a thing of it. In Eretz and Yerushalayim, you didn't sit in the Sukkot. That's why they have it all 7 days, Luv and Esek. And the thing is, because they would do mitzvahs all the time in Yerushalayim. And the Pesach, technically, again, it's really the first day. The last day is... It is Kriyas Yamsuf, so you have a holiday in between, but really each one is a one day pulling, it's one day, right? Even though it's the mess may have taken a long time. So why is there an Indian of 8 days of Hanukkah? That's really, I think, the least Gemara's Kashi. And that's why it explains why the Gemara answers the story of the oil. It doesn't tell about beating anyone in winning wars. It just says the Lashon as an assumed thing. What did he say? When the Yavanim came into the Beis HaMikdash, they were metame kol hashmonim shebeichel, and when the Malchus Hashmonaim won, so they went and they didn't find any oil except a little bottle, and then you got one bottle for one day, and that made the mess. And that's the whole answer to the thing. Ask anybody in the street, what are we celebrating? We're celebrating the Muhammad's. And technically we say it even in Al-Anisim, and then there is Halol. What is it? It's spoken about Al-Anisim, Al-Pukam, Al-Gavur, it's called Al-Chuy, it's called Al-Muhammad's, right? And then it mentions 8 days in there, but it doesn't mention anything about the oil. Talk about Haneris Halol. It talks also about that they have 8 days, that it's holy all 8 days. Doesn't say why. Why not? We have a little bit more Yisur that it says over there, B'nai Dino, they were covered with the Shmuel Yamin, B'nai Dino. They had to be B'nai Dino to be kind of Shmuel Yamin. Why do you have to be an understanding of people who are beyond the like, big Chachomim to be Kavei 8 days? To say the next took 8 days, so make it all. No, they came down to understand what is the nest here. What is the whole thing behind all these nisim? It's the 8 days. And we don't tell it to everybody. We'll talk about why we don't tell it to everybody. But it's like a big secret. We're keeping this nes hidden from everybody. At least even little kids who were teaching the first thing in kindergarten. You know what happened is this little bottle of oil, and it lasted for 8 days. And the stuff like that, that the kids probably hear more about the wars and the other things off nuclear, and it's a little more exciting than the little bottle of oil. And then we have to think about that the nest of the shemen is really an unnecessary nest. What would have happened in reality if they didn't have any oil? It would have been tummy. Everything would have been tummy. So first of all, if it's a din of a kodim, so it's tumahut to the tzibro. So it would have been with there anyway. If it hasn't got a din of a kodim, it has just a din of tzimaisa avoida, but it's not a din of a kodim, so you don't have a din of tumahut to the tzibro. So you'd have 8 days less. There were so many years that there was no avoida in the Beis HaMikdash, over 50-odd years, 52 years, that there was no avoida in the Beis HaMikdash. Another 8 days. What is it, the thing that and such a mess had to happen out of the ordinary? We how many svarim were written to understand what the mess was? Not so much what the mess was, but how do we light 8 days of candle? In other words, did they divide it into 8 different parts? Did they light it once? Is it, then you have to go out to the Sanhedrin? You have to clean it out, so how did you land up with 8 days of oil that burned for 8 days straight? What are you talking about? Why did I make such a thing? That's what we really have to understand. You also, I think, have to understand the history of the time. Why were we such a pain to the Greeks that they really went down, which is what it says in the Nisim. That is the main goal that existed by the Greeks, was Ashtichon Terasech. Why? I'm sure they didn't come into every religious place, every country that had their own religion, and start uprooting that religion. Couldn't care less. In fact, in most cases, you find by Ahasuerus and those, that they encouraged Avodah Zarah in their towns. Leave us alone. You don't make revolutions. If you have the opium of the masses, you don't make any revolutions. So why do I make your toast for? Why do I want to get rid of your religion for? What do I care about your religion? We do what we want to do. Ultimately, we're going to win anyway, because people like to follow the conqueror. People like to be in Kashmir, the one who's in charge, and ultimately they'll win anyway. We have to go out and make wars against the Yidden. It's not only by the Greeks, but by the Romans, the same thing. And it's again the same reason, the same mythology, the gods and so. And the basic idea is, what do we catch up divinity? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's two ways of looking at it. You have our way, which is eventually created the world. Besides creating the world, he's a manik of the world. He controls everything that happens. And therefore our actions in this world are not necessary for the continuity of the world. What it is intitulous to be perfect the world, to perfect ourselves, and to come in to understand it, to do mitzvahs, which gives purpose to the world. That's our tachlis in the world. So, but as far as things happening, the salvation does that. We're doing the Yirah Shemayim, the rest of the thing, that the organization does everything. We pray that Panosa to Gizund. Everything that we do, we pray for. Now, the nation does it. We ask him, why? We look for schusim, whatever it is. That's the way our relationship goes with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, the purpose of life, as far as we're concerned, is the perfection of the human being. The Torah, we have two ways of doing it. You have someone as Midos, Mahu Afata, and then you have a din of the Torah. I think the most famous one, I think that it's clear in the Torah to understand, is Yisrael. Yisrael says, we don't have the food here. We got all of them, it'd be a lot easier to find. Yisrael is telling the Moshe Rabbeinu that he tells about Yichad Yisrael, Vayemi Yisrael, Baruch Hashem Shitzesem, Ati Nedati, now I know, Higadu Hashem Mikol HaLekim. I know God is greater than all the gods, but Lev Hashem Zodu Aleihem, and the concept of Midah Keneged Midah. That's what he said. You know, he could have said a better thing than that. We have by Naaman, in the Afkeira, by Parshas Tazria, it says that he said, Ein Elohim Kim Bisra. I see there is no other God. That would have been a better statement. Right? Yisra is the one who experimented to find out what is Avedah Zarah in the world. He went through all the Avedah Zarahs in the world. He knew them already. So what did he tell me after you that now I know? He says that now I know the purpose of a Teva. He says, until now, the concept of God and human was God is stronger. We have to do his Ratzon. Whatever it is. What is his Ratzon? We try to understand. We do his Ratzon. Now I see that what the Rabbeinu Shlom does is teaching us what we are supposed to look at and how we're supposed to see things. And he teaches to us justice. What is the concept of justice? Justice is to do to the person what he did to other people. That's justice. It has nothing to do, as we have now, the main people that are anti the death penalty, because it's not a deterrent. That's not the purpose of justice. Justice is not a deterrent. There's another reason that we would talk to punish somebody. That's because there is a deterrent in it. And if there isn't a deterrent for an ex person, this guy's not around anymore. So that's for sure. We got recently rid of one Moshiach. But there is another purpose in it, that is something called justice. And what does that teach us? Justice. So what is justice? So what? Because then the Chazal can dash, you know, or Hillel can say, what is the most important thing a person should learn to behave against the stand? My son-in-law, what you hate, the chavre al tavid, don't do it to your friend. That is the simplest way to know what's right or wrong. You don't know what's right or wrong. You don't know what you should do. Right? How would you like it happen to you? If you see you don't like it, don't do it. That's the answer. It's a simple answer. That's justice. That's the union of midos. It's the picture for everything of how a person has to develop himself. If you don't like it, don't have to do it to anybody else. And the purpose of justice is to teach you, or to teach the one that was great, what it was that you did to someone else. In other words, that's the union of punishment, and the point of you've done something to someone else, you get it done back to you. That's basically a zechen, and that's the prevention to us. That was Yisrael. The Greeks, on the other hand, and the philosophers, Aristotle and others, believed that God created the world, or the gods created the world, but there's no mani goyim. And if you notice, if anyone ever studied a little, or had to hesitate their course in mythology, Greek or Roman literature, or whatever it is that you had to take in the thing, was to understand that the mythology is based on people getting involved in the lives of men, their gods, but not controlling the lives of men. They tried to get involved in it. What is then the type of God? In other words, if we believe there's such a God-like quality that a person should have, it's again, mahu avata. Right? There are certain things. Now, there's a God of war. That means there's anger. There is violence. There's things, obviously, in a God-like manner. A human being can't reach that madrege of viciousness. But God, he can. And every midah, taiva, a gaiva, it doesn't make a difference what the midah that we're talking about, but whatever the midah is, they are going to develop it to the utmost. What will make me godlike if I develop these midahs in myself? Therefore, the Torah was a way of living as forgivers. Now, someone learned the Torah, so he became a mason. He was interested in giving people. Someone who was a Greek, he was a taker. In other words, it's what I can get for myself, like my protection of myself, myself, myself. And that's the constant talk about himself. And therefore, if anything stands in his way, he doesn't care about it. He'll kill the person because that's part of how they live. the obviously came out, then what is the point of the perfection? Perfection of the bodies that God was given, so therefore, and let's understand, they didn't have any Greis Hanoyah, the Greeks. You know, you talk about Taiva and everything, wonderful. Think about a professional athlete, right? I don't know if anybody here would like to be a professional athlete. You have to practice hours and hours and hours to develop. Someone who runs the marathon and then he clutches over the thing and he gets his, I don't know what they give him now, $50,000, $100,000, whatever he makes over there. But how many races does it take and how many miles does he have to run every day? And how does he have to tire his body out and develop and give up other things and relationships, whatever it is that he has to give up? I think they have to perfect the body. And to become an Olympic star takes years and years. We may have a Yitzhahara to have the benefits, the enjoyments of the thing over there. That's nefesh for sure we don't have in the thing over there. And that's basically why they were successful, and mainly the main success, I guess, of the Greeks against the Jews was the fact that they wanted to join the ruling class. But I don't believe that the people were so involved in the beauty, to understand beauty, or the heterim of an artist. He's an artist. He's allowed to have any emotions he wants. Again, that in Meshuggah now, can have anything he wants, but he is an artist. He's a nut. He was raised in my cup. I mean, but that's the way people excuse, because that's the Greek way. It's the perfection of whatever it takes to perfect. We don't care about all the other things that go involved. Now, these two philosophies, if you want to call them that, clashed when Alexander captured Jerusalem. Until then, I don't know how much the Greeks had to do with the Jews. They were small little countries. They didn't have too much access with anybody until Alexander the Great made and started his invasions. And ultimately, I mean, Persia compared to Greece, he says, I don't it. I mean, 30,000 men, he conquered the world. 30,000 men, is every little hick town can pick up 30,000 men. He wasn't raised in Ireland by the Chinese, which hotel they're staying in. So, I mean, it's just a question of perception of how many people you have. It has nothing to do with power, so they had no clash before. The thing that happened afterwards was that all of a sudden, their way of life was threatened. Many of the Greeks finally saw something that makes sense. There's a perfection of the person. There's an inyan of midos. Now, even, you know, in a way we would think that selfishness is a midah b'etzem. You know, there's a lot of people who think that way. But l'maisa, we find even people who are, I know of a kohen. I had the shadi yesterday last night. He refuses to take two aliyahs when a lady's not there. Why? He's a liberal. He doesn't think he deserves two aliyahs. But you're a kohen. You're entitled to it. No, I don't know. So there's a certain amount of what we call liberalism, if you want, to a certain extent, that I just can't take and take and take. A man should feel that somewhere along the line, it's too much. I have to share a little bit. And you'll even have higher people that do, besides the ones that were taught, maybe as children, that they have to get stuck in. But there are many, many higher people who didn't have this lesson. But when it comes after a while, they see there's just so much. And there has to be a tachlis. There has to be some reason for all of this. And therefore the Torah became a very good idea. In other words, share. Help people. And a lot of people became gazim. That drove the Romans nuts. When it happened, when Uncleus Hagier became, he was one of the hardest things for the emperor to take. Because he was a nephew of his, and he should become a Ger, can't be. It's going to ruin it. How many people became Ger that he sent to try to bring him back? And the thing over there, why? Because they saw a new idea. Something of that sort. So they had to get rid of us. Now, how are they going to go about it? So it says that they went, Lashkicham Terasecha, Lahavira Mechukiritzelecha. Now it's a little bit, you can tie it up that Lashkicham Terasecha means we stopped you from learning, and ultimately Lahavira Mechukiritzelecha. It's possible that's what the Pshat is. I think you can learn the other way also, that the way he went about the making them forget the Torah is l'haviron l'chuki l'tzinecha, to make them stop doing the mitzvahs. Where do we have such a thing, an interesting thing? It's Rashi and Tashis Veshan. רק ישום לך שמנח שלך מועד ותשכח את הדבר מה שרואו עיניך ויוסם ובדך ומי חייך וכי אמא שמעת את השם הכך before then it says you're not allowed to forget the שמעתם ועשיסם כי היא חכמה שכם ובינה שכם ואין יועמם. This is what makes you considered a bright person. Why? The Torah works. Once upon a time, I remember from my when I was a child, there was this expression, Ayid Gambitnik. Ayid Gambitnik. A certain amount that a Jew doesn't do. I don't know if we can say it anymore. But once upon a time we were able to say it. That means the Torah is so perfected the person, you don't need a police force. You don't need a justice system for civil crimes. You may need it for torts. You may need it for of Nizikin. And stam havoyis, things of that sort, or misconceptions of these things, and payments you'll have, of a lamaisha that a guy is out to get from the other guy that you don't have. I'll tell you an interesting story about the year of Tzicha. Such a similar story. I don't know if anyone remembers Son of Sam. There was a guy shooting people in the Bay Ridge section. He used to go over to a car, he saw people in the car, he'd kill them. So I remember it was in summertime, and it was coming, and the neighborhood was getting very upset. And the psychs was telling me a shiva about what happened. And I said, you know, I just hope it's not a yid. So it can't be a yid. So a yid doesn't kill that way. A yid can kill from anger, a yid can kill sometimes, maybe even for gain. But just for no reason at all, you can't kill. It's like that. Mita does not exist like it. Anyway, the paper, they catch him finally, and his name is David Berkowitz. Okay. So I come over to Rosh Hashiva and I say, that's a shot, but it's not a yid. Remember, this is in the paper. You can't deny the fact. His name is David Berkowitz, huh? He got up. He was standing. He was on the porch learning when I came over to him. He gave a bang on the table. And he said, "This can be Italian, not kosher yid. Can't be." And the next thing we found out, it was Italian. Such a surety that just can't happen. These midas don't exist. Now, obviously, if we make mamzer and other things, the midas are going to disappear. But in a kosher yid, these midas don't exist. So the Torah works. In other words, they're saying the people are just the people that are booked. Whatever things you have, education, we don't have to do. I was asking that the world stock institutions you don't need to create because the yidden are making them. Whatever it is, the Baruch Hashem, there's a lot of chesed, there's a lot of things in it that we don't need. We're telling you this. In fact, he was not even his son. It was only a foster child. Adopted a foster, I think it was, and whoever it is. It wasn't Jewish. But this is the idea that the Torah, so he chokhmaschem uvinaschem eni ha'anim. The people see a Torah, and they see it works. And it's interesting, what part works? Chukim work. I'll see if I'll leave you the pasuk for that. אשר ישמעתם ועשיסים כי חכמאסכם ונאסכם ונעמים, אשר ישמעון את כל החוקים האלה, listen to what? Not the משפטים, את כל החוקים האלה, the חוקים, ואומרו רק עם חוכם ונובן הגוי הגוי הזה. How brilliant they are. ורחוק, חוק ולא דנוסים, what it means. Think about it, ask your doctor something. Right? He says to him, you have a heretic doctor. And he says, okay, take 2 aspirin, go to sleep. If you have a problem, call me in the morning. Baruch Hashem, I take it, the headache goes away. Right? Do I give credit to the doctor at all? No, of course, everybody knows you take an aspirin for a headache. Mm-hmm. Now, God is saying to you, I want you to take 3 glasses of water and then jump up and down 10 times and your headache will go away. And you do that and the headache goes away. What a genius. This guy knows the body so perfectly. There's nothing he doesn't know. You ever hear a logical thing like that in your life? Chukim impress people. Not mishpatim. Chukim impress. If they work. They don't work, they don't work. Rashi says over here, Shmartin, let's see, Chaki Shomel Cho Penishicha. And Penishicha is Advom. Oski Shulay Tishtichu Eisim, if you don't forget the Torah. V'tasum alamitosum, and you do the mitzvah the way you're supposed to do the mitzvah. V'choshvu chachom in the nevoinit, the presidio chachom and the novoy. V'im te'ofsu Eisim, if you mess them up, or you make man errors in them. V'toich shikha, because you forgot. Because for sure, also they're going to consider you idiots. Now, some extreme difference from a chacham and an oven to a shaitik. I mean, like, you know. But let's see if that's not true. One of the pashit dinim that you have is that you, one of the pashit dinim that sometimes we don't understand it, is you're allowed to be a rachman on a rachman, but not on a rachso. And the negative part of it is because if you're going to be a Rachman on Achso, ultimately you're going to be an Achso on a Rachman. Doesn't make sense just taking the words as they said. I mean, I can understand not being a Rachman anymore, maybe, but to be a Rachman, I'll become an Achso on a Rachman. Tell you a story. I think in the 73 or 79, I'm not sure, I don't remember already. It was in California, where California judges, members of an Irish judge, that's not negated to the Mesa, but it was the time when they first let the first colored people into the electrical union that year. It happens to be now you can't say which one, black or three blacks. I think that'll be easier to say Negroes or whatever it is, as I've been taught when I was a kid. Three blacks, they abducted a girl, and they blackmailed, or they held her for ransom for the parents to bail her out, and they raped her and did other things to her during that time. Anyway, she was able to escape and call the cops, and the cops caught them, and the Shasmaisa, and they arrested. They were brought to trial, and you have a right in New York State too, to choose to be tried by a judge only. You don't need a jury trial. It happened to be this particular Irish judge, which was known as his liberal judge, was the one that was his turn for the thing. They chose to be tried by a judge. Before he tries the case, he has to speak to the victim and to the prosecutor to see a fair punishment that would come out for the victim. And the woman comes to the judge, and they finally ask the judge, the prosecutor said, what do you intend to sentence these guys to? He said, to 3 years of weekends in jail. So the woman went hysterical. They started screaming, you know, what they did and how evil these guys are, and what they did to me, what they did to my parents, and what they did. And she's asking over there. And the judge tries to explain to her very simply, I want you to know, if these guys go to jail, one of them is the first black to be led into the electrical union, you will be setting civil rights back 20 years. And therefore, it's important we do not put this person in jail. And again, she keeps crying and screaming, and then, you know, look what he did, and this and that. She said, if you don't keep quiet, I'll put you in jail for contempt of court. He was censured for that in the end. But here you have a Rachman. He is a Rachman. He wanted to make sure that civil rights comes and everyone has a fair chance to make a living in the United States and so on. But because of that, he's willing to put the person who is the victim in jail. That's the part that you have. So if a person learns Rachmanis because Rachmanis is a good thing, so then why aren't we a big Rachmanis? Why do we kill Rotschim? Why do we do all these things? I mean, the whole thing, we should have Rachmanis, right? So Rachmanis doesn't work. That's why the system that we have in government and everything else is a reaction system. First of all, first you start killing everybody. Then you find out that you've got a couple of wrong guys there and other things, so we're not going to kill anybody. Then all of a sudden people start murdering again. So all of a sudden you have to come back and bring back the law to the fullest of the law. And then you do that and you find all of a sudden you're overdoing it. So there's no Seder to it. It's just reaction, reaction, reaction. Who's going to give me better votes? Who's going to elect me? Whatever. There's no embassy there as far as things. The Torah tells you how to deal with it. Rachmanis is good. There's no question about it. But to Rachman. Not that your Rachmanis is going to cause an achzor to be able to do his achzoris. That's the point that a person has to learn. So we have to learn how to temper our midos. It's somewhere in the middle. There's nothing, neither extreme is good. Somewhere in the middle is what we have to learn. And that's how life is all about. So that's one in you. Another one is stuck. Usually use it against the Sodom, but it's the same idea. One of the stories the Gemara brings down about Sodom is that everybody, when a poor person came to town, everybody would give him a din of zahav, and they had their name engraved. And nobody would sell him any food. And then when the person dies from hunger, everybody came back and claimed back their coin. Now, if we want to make fun of Starkey, if that's the idea that Stein wanted to do, was to make fun of people who give charity, I think they would have done a lot better and have a lot more fun. When a poor person came to the house, they would tell him that you're a leech, you're a parasite on society, you should know that, then where's your work ethic, and give him musa, you get a good feeling of giving somebody else musa, you know, and stuff like that, and then you put the embarrass the guy, and you're doing great. I mean, why do you have to kill anybody? Why'd you give him the for? I want to have shot that they also understood stock is an important factor. What is the obligation of stock? Now, the Torah's obligation is day machzorim. Whatever this person is missing, that's what we have to give. Not everyone is the same. Whatever the person takes to give them the dignity and everything else back. But it takes the personal involvement with the oni to make sure that he gets what he needs. Stoyim were very practical people. He said, you know, if we made such a law that people have to get involved with every oni, no one's going to open up the doors. You know, let the guy stay outside. I don't want to know. Right? So I'll tell you what, write a check. That way you give him a check and you put them. Okay? So they all gave him a check, the golden coin. But we weren't thinking about his future. No, I don't think that would happen. Not maybe it would happen, but I can't tell you that was the kavanah of this particular story, is that they refused to give him food. No. It happened to be this weekend. Nope. It's Sunday's the weekend, right? Monday's a legal holiday, so it's already 2 days. Erev Shabbos, it's Hanukkah too. You know, I'm going to go away for Hanukkah, I'm going to go away. Go away for a week. Jewish neighborhood, we close up shop, we all go away for a week. But the guy was here on Wednesday when he collected the money, and he said, oh boy, I'm all set here. On Thursday, I'm going to go to this restaurant, and Friday to this restaurant. And nobody's helping. And he dies of hunger. Because it wasn't our problem. It wasn't Dei Machzor, that we have to make sure he gets supper. That's what Dei Machzor means. This is food. We got to make sure he gets the food. One of the ways of giving him food is through a check. But it is not the purpose of the check. So you'll say, okay, you know, that's an extreme case you're talking about. I go, New York City. Okay. And Baruch Hashem, they're trying to fix it. They fixed most of it already. Welfare hotels. I don't know about welfare hotels. $100 a day. This is years ago. 4 people in a room. Rat infested. Cockroach infested. Dope addicts all over the place. Costing $36,000 a year per 4 people. Right? If you would have written out a check for $36,000 to these people, they would have moved into a fine neighborhood, rented a fine house, have all the money they need to support themselves. But we can't do that, because we can't give out money. We're going to support you. So we'll put you into a thing. We even give you, at that time, I think, when the particular Meisa, when it was installed, was $288 for a family of 4. but there were hotels that you couldn't cook in. So you had to eat, the cheapest place, I guess, was McDonald's. Even if you eat a dollar a meal, four meals, that's $12 a day, after a while, it doesn't last a month. Right? It doesn't last a month, so a week before, 2 weeks before the end of the month, the people are starving. And they come to complain to the city, you know, and the city says, you know, we are giving out more than $50,000 a person here. Besides the $36,000, the food allowance, we also have a clothes allowance, we have other types of allowances, and it costs us $50,000. And you guys can't starve, and that's not our fault. Of course it's your fault. That's because we don't think about our responsibilities. We think about how to get out of our responsibilities. And that was a very nice thing. That's what Stiglitz. So if you make the Torah not work, then people move away from the Torah. In other words, it's easy to sell. And that's what really happened. In other words, you see the welfare system does not work as is. I don't know if they ever perfected it the way it should work, but the idea is that that much they found out that it doesn't work the way they want it to work. Now, why was the source, the Klal Yisrael, was able to be saved? What gave this was? So again, it says this in Nalanisim. It says, Rafta Asliva. God fought their battle. Now, was it their battle? Nobody was threatening the Jews. They were threatening the Torah. That's God's battle. But they made it their battle. What did they say? We don't want to live as Greeks. That's what they said. So we now made it our battle. Oh, now it's your battle. So now I'll come and save you. That was the source. Where do we find others who've done this concept? Basically, Rabbi Akiva. We know the story of Rabbi Akiva was caught teaching Torah by Rabin, and Pappas Ben Yehuda, who was a cellmate of his, asked him, why were you Moshe Nefesh to teach Torah by Rabin? There's no chiyuv to teach Torah b'Rabin. It's not one of the Gimel mitzvahs that you're Moshe Nefesh for. So why are you doing it? So you would think somebody who is that would give him a good drosha about Shas Hashmad, and without the Torah there's not going to be anything left for the next generation. A good place for speech. What does he tell him? He tells him a story that there's this fox walking on the thing, and there were fish in the water, and the fish are running away, and the fox asked him to come on the thing, and they told him we're dying, and how can we be in a place where we don't belong, we're going to live in, what if we can't live where we belong? What did that answer the question to Papa Spengler? He said to him, you're right. I can't live without Torah. I'm a fish without water. That's what it is. And since I can't live without Torah, I want to be my synaphis. And I think last time I mentioned this, that there are some shittas that hold that even though the din is yag v'yavah is only for three mitzvahs, if a person feels in such a degree he can't live like that, he may be allowed to be Moshe Nefesh. It's not an issa to me, it's an issa. But if it's a person that it's going to be a torture for him to live like that, then let him Moshe Nefesh. And we find in the Chuvin, the Gemaros, and Gittin, where the girls that were being taken to the Zayna houses all jumped overboard and drowned themselves, and stuff like that, not to live such a life. Now, in other words, what's the heter? Why are you allowed to kill yourself? Because I can't live like that. I can't live like that. It's torture. It's not life. The person has life, so then for nothing. For three things you're not allowed to have life for. But everything else you have in life is going to tell you. But if I don't have life, I have torture. That, then it's the other way. You always can kill yourself. Avraham Avinu is a Rambam in the 10th Perek of Hilchos Tshuva. And, I mean, it makes other kashas, but it's not Nigeria to the point. He says, why is Avraham called Avraham Ahuvi? And the thing there, because Avraham didn't want to live with Shechem. He says, what happened was, he came when Nimrod called him in, they brought him to Nimrod and asked him about the Avodah Zarah. He knew that he believed in the Rabbeinu Shlom, and if he agrees with Nimrod, at least pacifies him, he'll have, he can live again for another day, wait till Limur is dead, and then go teach. Right? I mean, they're just using the seichel. I mean, why do you go fight with Nimrod and he throws into the Kibshon Eish? So he says that because Abraham couldn't know Sheker and he couldn't live with Sheker. And it's interesting, he puts in this, I assume that even in his Spain, which was under the Mohammedans, not under the, except they were Mohammedans that forced the religion on them. That's why he had to leave, and they went first to Morocco and then to Egypt. That they didn't do that. The Mohammedans didn't force you, but the Christians did. So to say to the Moranos, the ones who stayed in 1492, that became Moranos, they didn't mind living Sheker. With all the Cheshbenis. In other words, we'll go through the thing, but I'm going to pretend to be a Christian. I'll do whatever I can, but Lemaise, I want to live, and I'm going to live, I want to live as a Christian. And he says, like, Kol Chacham Zeichel of this. Obviously, there are people who are Chachamim, and there's no truth. I can't live with a Sheker. Avram couldn't live with a Sheker. So that's why it was my Senefesh. Again, not because of the reasons, because if I don't stand up, it's something's going to happen. He just doesn't want to live anymore. Not good night for him. Who does the Rabbeinu Shlom save? The Rabbeinu Shlom saves Avram Avinu. Why? Because you don't find Avram going on a soapbox until after probably the Bris Ben Absorim, but probably even probably after the Bris Ben Absorim, and then he had the 5 years probably to set up the Yeshiva Hashiva, the Hanefer also B'chohan, and then he went back to Eretz Yisrael with Lech Lecha. The whole difference is approximately 10 years. It was in the Maisa with Avraham Avinu, you have this little kid, you know, breaking the thing, but the Maisa doesn't work according to one Gemara. The Gemara says, so one is that there was the, like Moshe Rabbeinu Shlomo, when the fire came down, which was first Hashkina came down, and the thing, and the second was there was no Aveda Zohar, Kimei Hevel, and Kimei Noyach, Shaloi Hoyo Aveda Zohar, the Yemehim. So Hevel lived only half a year, so I mean, there's no Aveda Zohar, it's no big deal. Noyach, even if it can't be that he never had Aveda Zohar in his lifetime, because obviously in his lifetime, in the Der HaMabel, there was Aveda Zohar. But it was Chet in the second life, Tanhoi B'Dereisov. He lived two lifetimes, the one after the Mabel, and that there was no Aveda Zohar. Even though Kfire showed up again by the Migdol, but Aveda Zohar there wasn't. So he came, after Noyach dies, Aveda Zohar started to come. That shows you how ready Aveda Zohar is implanted sometimes in the thing, that they're just waiting for a minute for it to stop. For instance, when the ones who, not too many people here from the 50s, but the 50s was a family generation. The 60s was the hippies, the flower people. What happened? From family values to this, everybody was ready to be over. They just needed someone to break the ice. So one guy did it, everyone said, yeah, it's not a bad idea. So they all did it and didn't it. Same thing with the Aveda Zohar. Until Noach died, they were ready, but no one came up with a good idea yet. And then as soon as he died, someone came up with an idea in the whole world. So the difference is, let's understand how old Avram was when Noach died. Avram was Noach years old when Noach died. He was 58 when Noach died. So by the time he's a Bris Ben Absorim, he's 70. So in a time of 12 years, it went from no Aveda Zohar to the world to Avram being Avram HaIvri. That he's like one of the few that didn't have Aveda Zohar in life. That's how the thing. The same thing happened to all the values that we suffer with now, is the fact that now there's a little bit of backlash, but each one is more and more and more. You're looking for more heter, more tiger, more things there, until it's going to gorge on it, and then all of a sudden there's a little bit of a backlash. But originally it went slowly, but quite fast, if there were. So this is the same thing with Avraham Avinu. So he was an older person, and you know there's an old vocht that the one who goes in to die lives, and the one who goes in to live dies. So Haran, who intended to live because he saw Avraham Avinu was saved, said that he's with Avraham Avinu, and therefore he expected to be saved, and he died. Avram, on the other hand, expected to die. He ended up living. Now, it's not just the story of, you know, life, death, you know. It's a reason for it. Someone who's willing to die for what he believes in is committed to that. And if the Rebbeinu Shlomo saves his life, like by Avraham Avinu says, why are you torturing me, God? Why are you making me live through a light, through a world where there's Avodah Zarah in it? I don't want to live. And God made him live. So obviously, my job is to change the world. So you go out and change the world. The guy on the other hand, Haran, who wasn't too committed either way or the other, and therefore he's just figuring, you know, it worked for him, it worked for me, there's no reason to keep him around. And in Gemara and Shabbos you have like that, that originally in Yechezkel you have that the Rebbeinu Shlomo was saying to the Midas Sadin, I mean to the Malach, that he should go and put a tough chayim on the heads of the tzaddikim. So the Midas Hadin came to the Rebbeinu Shlomo, said, well, why? These people didn't do anything for the generation. So he said, I can say this, the Rebbeinu Shlomo saying to the Midas Hadin, I can say this, that even if they would have tried, it wouldn't have helped. So the Midas Hadin said back, Lefanecha Golu, you saw. Lefanehem Lo Golu, they didn't see, so why didn't they try? Obviously, these people are not going to do anything. There's no point in saving them. The people that were saved through the Holocaust and everything else who was brought and had to go through the tortures and so on is because we needed them to return the Torah to the way, to its ways. The ones who were not going to do too much about it, I can't say everyone, I'm not trying to make general rules here, but the ones who would not have accomplished, there was no purpose for them to live through the tortures. So therefore, what did the Rebbeinu tell the Malach? Go and kill them first. Because then you don't see the destruction of everything you believe in. They said that same thing by Yeshio, the Rebbeinu killed him before Kodim Ora and Esra HaTzadik. What do you mean Kodim Ora? It's, you find in 1940, Chaim Reza died, others died around that time because they're not going to be around to return the world. So just the point of seeing everything disintegrate, we kill them before. We take them away before in the world. So it's an in that itself is a chesed that the Rebbeinu Shlomo does. So these are the people that can influence others. And that's what Avesham kept them. So you see that a group of people that couldn't live as Greeks, they had the power to return Klal Yisrael to its madrege of what it was, which is the whole Bayis Shem, basically, until the Greeks, until after the Greeks and Romans, it became a little better. You see, we'll skip this part then. Okay. The Neis celebrates the Ikir, this nidah of doing an unnecessaryness. What did the Rebbeinu want to show with an unnecessaryness? He wanted to show, I approve of what you did. People may think, who said it was such a smart idea? I mean, 12 guys, according to the Rashi, in what Zoyis HaBrocha, there were 14 in Chashmon. I don't know where he got the thing of Matisio and his 5 sons, he had 12 sons, it says. But he had 12 sons, as Matisio, 12 sons is 13, and Elazar, that was the 14th guy, whoever he was. These 14 people undertook the war against the Romans, by themselves, obviously, against the Greeks. So as times changed, I guess as the victories came, more people joined. But originally, that's why you had 14 went out. But the 14 inspired everybody. People heard, they knew what they were fighting for, and that's why, that's chus. So you don't need a rabbin. You don't need a lot of people. Ma'atim is enough if the ma'atim have an idea to spread, to be able to influence, to teach, then we save the world because of ma'atim. Avraham Avinu could have saved it maybe with Tzidayim, whatever it is there, but he was not involved in it. Light ultimately becomes, he saves Tzoya because he changes in his attitude. I'm not going to go down the rise to this, but anyway. That if you can influence, we save for. Obviously, this lesson, not everyone takes into the same degree. The singing of what I can't live without. And therefore there's basic, mahadrin, and mahadrin. There are different levels. No question about it. We're not all the same. And the Torah is not going to put it out and tell you what it should be, because that way you're not going to seek it. A lot of things now that is hidden, and understand why the Rebbeinu Shlomo made the mess, the person seeks in himself what it is. And I think could be, we discussed this on the way here, could be that the reason that Hanukkah is in the time of Katsinach, and you would think, like, you know, it's a very awkward time, and Taketh, look at all the people are have these Hanukkah bushes and the other things and whatever it is, you know, so why should it be the same time? It's Happy Holidays. But you notice they don't put a Christmas tree. It's a Hanukkah bush. It will be a different season, Hanukkah. They'll do the menorah, but it can't be different than the rest of the world. You got to celebrate. You got to do something. So therefore, they would have gone along with what the world goes along with. But now that I have my own, I'm not giving in. We have, there's an organization called URA. I'm sure a lot of you know about it. It was started by Ari Shiva. And Mohammed Rabbi Mintz, who started it, used to go around and this time of the year and look which houses have an electric menorah. Not too religious. Electric menorah. We knock on the door. Come in, ask them to come in, start talking, and ultimately schlep the kids to the yeshiva, and so on, because they had a spark of Yiddishkeit. And that was the part that showed up. I refuse to accept that what the majority do. And they think, look, I am not a fuller. I don't like the way it should be written, but I have a semblance of Yiddishkeit in me. And that's what you appeal to. Now, I'm not going into the machlekes, I'm going to end with this. You know, the old machlekes, the svaldim, have one way of lighting the menorah. They have one, usually the way it's done now by most svaldim, is one the father lights one menorah, one, two, three, as he goes up, and no matter where the kids are, they do not light themselves. Anyway, by us, everyone in the house, you have 87 menorahs all lined up on the finger, and we all light it. And there's grace to mention, I'm talking for the early Achreinim, that seems to hold that the Sfadim passing like Pesach here, and we passing like the Rambam. And it's a big wonder, how could that be? I'm not going to go into answer that, but the Pashtus is not so. The thing there, and the difference is they passing like the Rambam holds back only one Menorah he's talking about, and we hold many Menorahs. But it could be that the Nisyonis. And one of the questions you have on this problem, how is it possible that one menorah is going to be better than everybody lighting themselves? Because the Mahadran is everyone lighting themselves. How could one lighting for everyone be better? The Ashkenazis of the world didn't have, they had Shemad. Well, you can't say they never had, but it was rare comparatively to the Slavim. And because of that, each one was trying to perfect the individual. And each person has to come in to his own level of understanding of Mahadun and Mahadun and Mahadun and so on, and that's what each one does. On the other hand, in a place where Ein Bayis Ein Shomes, it says, and this used to be like an expression used in America for the families, that Ein Bayis Ein Shomes, there's at least one Machal Shabbos in the family, one married a guy, whatever it is, now Baruch Hashem, we have families again. What is a greater victory than saying my whole family is there? Not that I have to have individuals, just an individual has it. Therefore, we have my whole family. And that, I think, is the basic machlekes between the Svadim and the thing, best thing on their history. But that, we should be zeichetaket to understand the ness of the Shmoni Yamin, and that the Rebbeinu applauded us, and it wasn't necessarily the victory, but he gave us the victory because of the smida that we had that refused to live as Greeks, that we should live that way in the Zeich of Mashiach, the Mashiach of King of the Amen. 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 Amen.